Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants, pumpkins, when you're grooming, if you know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new fourth generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping using the promo code HAYES. That's H-A-Y-E-S. Get to manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES. You'll save 20% off plus free shipping. All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 4. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. A little Bruce Springsteen to bring us in here. It's his birthday today. And I am personally not his biggest fan in the world in terms of the music. But
you're a moron.
Somebody is. Like, I didn't know Owen Mullen were such super fans of Springsteen. I had to play it today. So.
Dude, it's
like
not him. A super fan. It's just the guy's a legend. It's like, no matter who you are, you would go to a Bruce concert if you were in that. Like, a couple years ago, I think Duffy and Klan in Pittsburgh went to a Springsteen concert in Pitt.
Oh, I've like heard it's amazing.
He puts a great show on.
He puts on a great show.
This guy's 72 years old for the... When I saw birthday reading the paper, they got the little birthday thing. I'm like, okay, he's 62 or something. 72 years old? That's what kind of work has that guy done?
I went to a concert, what, 6-7 years ago here at the Rogers Center, I guess it was called. I don't even know what the Dome. And he was brilliant. He was brilliant. What is it called?
The Rogers Center. What do you mean? You don't know the name of the building?
They all change names.
Is not going to change. I can pretty much guarantee
fair
you
enough
that.
Then.
We typically call it the Dome.
Let's call it the Dome, just based on who we work
called?
For.
Young Street.
Sorry.
Yeah. Young Street? Yes, we're familiar with the name.
I ended up going to his show, and it was unbelievable. This guy played for 3.5 hours. And it was almost like we were tired. Like the crowd was like... I'm tired watching this guy. He's singing. He left besides side stage in a truck. He was still hanging out the window, like waving to people. Like, it was unbelievable, the energy. I mean, he has that type of catalog that you can sing for 3.5 hours. It was one of the best concerts I've seen, and I've been to hundreds of concerts in my life, and he was that great. I agree with you, Hayes. I'm not the biggest Springsteen fan, but there has to be respect for that man. For his longevity.
Well, yeah, respect for, the amount of songs he's put out. He's got a massive following. I've heard he's always been amazing live. I would happily go and check it out. Listen, I'd go watch a one-man band in a 7-Eleven, if I could go in there and see something live right now. It's been a long time since I saw live music or was in the midst of it all. But I do think a 3.5-hour show where I just don't know the catalog. I'm familiar with his biggest songs, and I'm not ignorant to what he's all about. But 3.5 hours, that means you're playing 40 songs?
This guy put a clinic on. I'm not lying.
I'm sure it was.
Give me your 10 best songs, and I'm out. Like, I don't need to hear
That's what I'm saying. You keep going. You're getting deep into a catalog where it's like,
10 best, come
I don't
out for
know
an encore. I'll give you the wave goodbye, and that's all I need.
Please, somebody who's listening, tell me you were at that show and tell me it wasn't 3.5 hours. Like
I was at that show, Jamie. It was like 4 hours.
Yeah,
there
it was 8 o'clock.
They brought the lights back on and he just kept going. He played for like another hour and a half.
After the lights were on?
Yeah.
So he must have got fined then. The city must have fined.
Yeah, I believe he did, actually.
Obviously, he doesn't care about that. But if you can just pay the fine, why don't more acts do that kind of stuff?
Well, why would they want it out of their pocket, to your point?
I know, but how much are we talking? What's the city fining Bruce Springsteen? $10,000?
Ken got the green room cooking. Who knows what's going on in the green room waiting?
I thought it was fantastic, and I kept thinking to myself, because we were in a box, and we had the vodkas flowing and stuff. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. Like, I was concerned, because that's a long night to start off with.
That is, yep.
But he put a clinic on, and when you're that big of a legend, he deserves the respect. But yeah, he's a guy that you know, maybe cut it off at 20 songs. I don't know. I mean, I can't imagine how many he played that night. I'm trying to think of, like,
well, if it went 4 hours, then it obviously took a break here or there. But for the most part, that the average song is maybe three and a half. You can do the math. That's a lot of songs being played. That's a long playlist.
Yeah, he was great.
Listen, he's been around forever. He's a legend. He's in the Hall of Fame. He's got a huge following. I don't think he's losing sleep over the fact that I'm not his number one fan. But I don't know. Yeah. Like, where do you draw the line on talent and an appreciation for energy? You know, like, you, someone that can play the sax, would you go see Kenny G play? He's got great energy. But he's the equivalent. Kenny G, when it comes to the sax, is the Springsteen. So why go see Springsteen and be like, oh, I got through 4 hours, no problem, high energy. And what, dude, if Kenny G comes in and crushes?
It's a ridiculous
analogy. The Kenny G to the
Jerry
boss.
G with his locks.
Jerry G.
Here's another
to
fact.
Bruce Springsteen.
All right, Brooks.
No, it's not a
Thank you.
That's not a real Brooks.
Mullen was
at Springsteen running on stage. He probably got thrown out from security.
Mullen is biased.
Mullen was Courtney Cox.
Mullen was Courtney Cox. It
wasn't
Dancing
off.
In the Dark. That's exactly where it was.
Yeah.
Mullen was up there, and he was Courtney Cox.
You know what I like, though, and what is so, for me, respectable? I watched Billy Joel one time. I think he was in Edmonton or Calgary, and he was going back on tour. He just sat down and started playing. Like, it was like, and he started one song. He's like, oh, sorry, I screwed that up. Let's start again. I was like, this guy is the man. Like, it was, he was so talented, though. That's the thing that I love. And this
so
is the,
Kenny G. So is Jerry G. That's what I'm saying, Noodles.
You're by the appreciates. I don't have I don't have an appreciation for the saxophone like I do a guy who can sing. Does Kenny G sing, or he's just he works the trombone or whatever. That's it. Like, that's all he does.
He plays the sax, but here's another fact.
Okay.
Jerry G would dummy the old dog on a golf course.
Really? He's a scratch golfer.
And
dude,
by all accounts,
set up the match. Me versus Jerry G. All the money you want. I'll take on
Jerry. I bet Jerry G would roast you from the tips, from the blues. You play any
course.
Dude,
I've seen the guy at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. They're like, here's Jerry G with a scratch handicap. And he grabs a 5-iron and blades it into the Pacific Ocean. And I'm like, no, Jerry G, you're not a scratch handicap. But you want to set up me versus Jerry G, the national? Go ahead.
The only rock star or musician that I know that I've heard is a great golfer isn't Alice Cooper. Isn't Alice Cooper like a known
I think he's pretty good,
big
yeah,
golfer like, in Arizona or Phoenix or something? Like,
yeah, he plays a lot. He plays a lot down there.
Weathered veteran, but, I mean, that's a guy who's not shy to get after it.
No. Like, the whole Alice Cooper kind of act or shtick, it's got to be tough to hold on to as you get towards 70. You know, like, Springsteen has just always been the same guy, right? He's from Jersey, plays the guitar, he does his thing, he's the boss.
Right.
He hasn't
he's
had
not
to change.
Alice Cooper trying to bite an animal's head off during a concert when you're 80 years old. He's like,
know.
Come on, dude.
Like,
you're a
Kiss
grandfather.
And Alice Cooper and Marilyn Manson, you're like, guys, like that, you know.
Stop I know, it. But it, you know what bothers me about today's music is half of it's manufactured on a computer. Half these guys can play an instrument whatsoever. And it's all, you know, voiced over and stuff like that. That's why half of them are garbage in concert. Like,
well,
you
go to some that's true, but
hip hop concerts, they're garbage because it's these guys, you know, they're not in front of their computer singing it into the computer and their voice is clear coming out. Like,
well,
that's why I've always
that can be a two-way street. I mean,
I've heard
not,
Drake stinks
not
live. I don't know, is that true or not? I've never been to a Drake concert.
I've never seen him live. I'm sure it's a good show. Like, I'm sure he builds
well, I'm
up
sure
the
that,
atmosphere.
The show. But, like, I like guys who can play instruments and sing, like, legit instead of it being manufactured. But that's me. That's the old man in me.
Well, it's not manufactured. It's mute. Like, everyone has producers. Everyone has bandmates that do what, like, it's not like, I've heard that Anthony Kiedis is terrible singer. Now, I've also
really?
Heard the opposite, you know, but I've heard the Chili Peppers, you see them live, you're like, it's not so, but they're
I've
a great band.
I've seen them live a few times. They're good, I think.
Yeah, so,
but
listen, that's a two-way street. There's a lot of bands where you see them live, you're like, this is clearly the studio and this is the producer.
Yeah.
And
like studio bands, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's, that's
and that's the
thing.
Way it works.
It's interesting to see. But the boss, he gave us 4 hours of the business that night, and he was – there was no computer-generated anything. He was sitting there with a guitar singing his heart out, and Hayes is kicking him in the nuts on the way out.
No, I'm not at all. I'm just I feel like everyone has to admit that they're a big Springsteen fan of the catalog. It's not like personal against the guy.
Right, no.
It's just not my type of music. Like, when I've listened to a lot of it, there are some songs I'm a fan of, but – I'm right. not, like, dying to go see Springsteen, you know, where I've heard – you're not alone. A lot of people have been like, you got to see Springsteen. You wouldn't believe the energy. I'm like,
right.
The energy? What is it, a yoga class? Like, am I going for a spin class or am I going to a concert? Anyway.
It could be. I love it. So it's his birthday.
Yes. Shout out to Springsteen. Nothing against the birthday. I hope he has a great birthday.
Right.
I'm watching on the screen here. I'm wondering what's going on with the O-Dog there. Because everything all right over there?
Oh, yeah. I had a coughing episode. That's not needed to be brought up. But
I'm looking at you, and I was getting a little bit concerned. Cause...
Yeah, all good. It's over with.
I was waiting for the – are you okay,
moving
Lindy?
Moving on.
Yeah.
It's all good. We're good tonight. We got a Thursday nighter tonight. You guys are on the clock, you and Al's brother. So we will hear from Al's brother a little bit later on, and I guess you will have to chime in, although you generally just sit there and agree with whatever he picks.
We exchange a message about where where our heads are at, and if there's agreeance, we move forward with it. And I don't think, which is, I guess, an indictment on me, there's rarely an argument.
Yeah. Well, like I know who you're picking tonight. Everyone knows who you're picking tonight. Like, let's be honest. You're probably taking the Panthers. They're an 8-point favorite. Davis Mills is the quarterback for the Texans tonight. He's a rookie, third-round pick out of Stanford. And I have no idea what he's going to bring to the table. Houston's played pretty well, though. They won week one. They were in it last week in Cleveland. Made us kind of think a little bit. There he goes. Springsteen. Springsteen can play for 4 hours. This guy can't get through the first 10 minutes of the show.
He's choking on a fur ball. You know,
I think what happened is he hit the bulk barn earlier today, and I'll bet you he's got some little niblets over there, a couple things to chew on, and something went down the wrong tube, and it is off the rails already.
We should ask people that go on air. I don't know if this is the case for you, but is there a food that you can't take a nibble of just before you go on air that it either your mouth like gets dry, like whether it's pretzels or something like that? Like, is there something that you're like, I can't have that because I got to talk in 5 minutes?
Yeah, there definitely has been that. I can't really remember, which is not a good scene because I should probably remember that, which means I'll definitely end up doing it again. But my thing is my allergies, man, that I can't control. Like, there have been times down in the basement where I can feel like sneezes are coming.
Yeah,
and I am a loud, obnoxious sneezer. I know it's a brutal sneeze. Like, I know people around me are like, dude, that's totally unnecessary to be that loud and obnoxious and stupid. And my concern is I'm going to have like a sneeze attack. My eyes are going to start watering up. That happened actually during the summer when Gord was on with me. I couldn't even look at the screen.
Really?
I had to put my head down. My eyes were starting to water. I'm fighting back a sneeze. And I was like, I'm in big trouble here. Like, I'm going to go south. So
happens.
Allergies concern me more than anything else.
That's the elements. For me, it is pretzels. Like, it's dry. And if you end up eating a too big of a pretzel, taking too big of a bite. Like, I had one time when I was with the NHL Network. So that's that long ago. And it got lodged in my throat. And I was trying to,
toast.
Like, talk. And the host was our buddy Mike Kelly. And I'm staring at him, and you know when something's lodged in your throat and you're trying to, like, fight it to get out? And he comes to me with a question. I'm like, why couldn't you just figure something else on your own? Like,
right.
And he comes, what do you think about it? I'm like, no, it's all right. You know, I had nothing because
nothing.
Couldn't get out my voice. So
we've all been there before. We've all been there.
Chew your food or don't eat pretzels before you're going.
These pretzels are making me thirsty right before you get on the air.
Disaster.
Never a good idea. But we got the O-Dog back. And we're all good. We're all good.
Let's
we're feeling
on.
It. So, okay, let's move on. We've got the Thursday Nighter tonight. And we'll see what Al's brother and the O-Dog have in store in terms of their pick tonight. The Jays are back in action tonight. It wasn't a great night last night for the Jays all around. They got smoked in the afternoon. We talked about that. The Yankees were down 3-0 early. They stormed back, end up winning it. And it's like you knew that was coming. The Yankees have a tough tough sched, though. They're at Fenway for three, and then they're up here for three. Then they finish at the Trop for three against the Rays. So they have a really tough schedule. Boston is heating up at the right time. I think that's seven in a row for them now. They are red hot. But last night it was about Baraki hitting Kiermaier and Kiermaier being a hero after the game. And we have some audio here from Kiermaier. He was speaking with someone from TV down at Tampa. And obviously she asked him about the Baraki hitting him and his reaction to it. So when you consider what else he said, where you know he called it weak and clown show and he wants to play the Blue Jays in the playoffs now and he's really fired up about it. This all started because he's the guy that took
the card,
the data card that fell out of Kirk's back pocket and brought it back to the dugout. So he was the guy who instigated the whole issue. So this is what he had to say, though, about actually getting hit last night and his reaction to it.
It didn't hurt at all. I didn't even feel it. You know, it was no surprise to me whatsoever. But all I cared about today was win the series, and that's what we did. So I'm a happy man. And you know, I don't know who we're going to play the first round, but I, well, nah, I'll just leave it at that. But we're all smiles right now. We're feeling really good about ourselves.
So didn't hurt at all, didn't even feel it, knew it was coming, but worst transaction in history. And now the Jays suck, and he needs redemption in the ALDS. Something doesn't add up here.
Nah, and you know what?
Like, he Baraki was going to go. Hit him right in the numbers. Like, come on.
That would hurt, right in the meat
of
the back.
Of course it would, but it could be worse. It could be a lot worse.
Also, though, I felt like he was digging deeper to take a shot, and at the last second was like, I can't do it. Like, I better bite my tongue, because he was being a hero there. I think he was ready to go deeper and, you know, fire at the Blue Jays. Like, he kind of tailed off at the last second. That was my impression.
Well, I love it. I think it's just my goodness.
NEG is watching right now, and Kenny he G loves his chances.
He's got an old dog voodoo
no,
doll
but seriously,
right now.
Do you not think that's just the guy being competitive? In a sports world where nobody says anything about anybody, can't we have a guy come out and say, I can't stand Baraki. I want to beat the hell out of the Blue Jays every time we play them again? That's all I took from that.
Absolutely. Go for it. I'm okay with that, but watch what you wish for. I also think there's a part of the bravado that comes with the
what
fact
you mean,
that
watch
they...
what you wish for. What do you think? The Blue Jays are going to come back and haunt this
Absolutely.
Guy?
Absolutely. Why not? Why not? Let's see what you got in the playoffs. Let's hope it gets to that point. It'd be great. That's what the Jays had in 15 and 16. Remember, they had some real beef with Kansas City. They had a lot of beef with Baltimore. They had some issues with Cleveland, the Rangers.
Houston,
the Rangers were the biggest one, clearly.
Yeah, Texas Rangers. They had
problems. Yeah, like, I got no issue. I'm with you, man. I love it in terms of building it up and a rivalry. And this is a young Blue Jay team that doesn't leave much of an impression, I think, league-wide in terms of attitude, in terms of a chip on their shoulder. Again, their Skip is the happiest go lucky guy in the league in Charlie Montoyo, and for the most part they're just young guys that don't know any better. This is a sign of some sort of rivalry that I 100% embrace.
Wow.
But we'll see what you got, and you know you're going to the playoffs, so it's pretty easy to be like, oh, I hope we play the Jays. He's probably thinking there's a good chance they won't. But it's not the end of the world. You know,
what do you think the follow-up comment was going to be? Was it going to be, I would like to play the Jays first round? Because I think the comment is, they're not even in yet, and they probably won't make it. I think that was the follow-up comment where he said, I don't want to say it.
Maybe. And that would have been a real jab. That would have been a good jab. Instead of, I hope we play it, would have been nice if you could make it, but I don't think you will.
Yeah.
That's a
mic
drop.
I think he was coming with that one, and he said, you know what? I'm not going to say it.
Well, listen, let me ask you this. I know you mentioned the Skip, who's a happy-go-lucky guy. Pete Walker is my guy. Like, I it's enough with Charlie and that. Like, get out there and get pissed off. Like, you're trying to make the playoffs, and I know that you're friends with the other manager and that, but like, I know it's not in his nature, but maybe that he flips out one time. Maybe he'll save it for the playoffs, or maybe he'll save it for somewhere else, but to me, it would mean a lot more if Montoyo is in there instead of Pete Walker having to get tossed and sticking his nose in it. Now, Walker's he looks like a big man who's put together, and he's got some piss and vinegar to him. But, like, Montoyo's almost smiling in the scrum there.
Like, it's not in his nature. Yeah, it's not in his nature. It's just not going to happen. And
it bothers me. I don't know why. I'm sure he's a great manager and everyone loves him, but like, where's your competitive juices? Get in there. One of your guys just got beamed. Another manager a week and a half ago screaming at your ace, the guy who's going to win the Cy Young, and not, you know, it's all good here. Agua under the bridge. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, get pissed off a little bit. Maybe I'd like to see that.
Yeah, no, I would at times too. I've been critical of that. I've been critical of this is interactions with other teams, but umpires and fighting for strikes and strike zones, and that's the nature of the beast with that position as the manager. You're the one that's going to speak for them, and yet this is his disposition. That's Montoya,
and
that's clearly what he's. But you got to remember, it's a long run. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're being even keeled. There are benefits to that. Keeping guys just kind of loose and in a good mood and happy and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, the Jays believe that will pay off. And quite frankly, at this point, there's not much you can criticize in terms of the way he has handled the clubhouse because of everything they've gone through, playing in Dunedin, playing in Buffalo, playing up here. So I think it's a balancing act. Would I love the best of both worlds? Yes. Do I agree with you in terms of get out there and show a little bit of fire and protect your guys or stand up for your guys? I would like to see that.
Right.
I'm as old school as you are when it comes to that. Maybe it's not the nature of the beast in today's game. But I think on the flip side of it, the way he handles the day-to-day and keeping things light and always being in a good frame of mind and a positive frame of mind, I think has also been beneficial for this team this year, because it would have been easy for them to sulk when they're in Dunedin, sulk when they're in Buffalo, sulk with the COVID protocols.
Right.
Let the season get away with them from them when they were 9.5 back. And he never really changed at any point, which is tough to do. You know, it is tough to do, to be committed to that approach, and that is the approach of Montoya. But they're in Minnesota for four starting tonight. Matt's on the mound tonight. And then they're home for a 6-game homestand. And the Jays announced today that they are issuing tickets, like they're going to be selling tickets for an expanded capacity that they don't know is even going to be available to them, because everyone is just waiting. You know, like, when are we going to come up with a decision in the province? Like, it's not like this snuck up on anyone. The Leafs play Saturday. The Raptors are here in a week. What is going to change with COVID in capacity between now and Saturday night?
Nothing.
I get that there are bigger problems in the province. I totally understand that, and there are different things that have to be done.
Was
but
the
this
election
not
have anything to do with it, about what's going to happen, or mandates, or I don't know. You're right, though. It didn't creep up on anybody. Why
no.
isn't it figured out?
Like, what is going? Like, can someone make a decision and make it public? What is it? What are we doing here? Like, are people in the building on Saturday or not? Is it 15,000 or 30,000 in the stadium on Monday when the Yankees are in town? You know, like, what is it? What are we waiting for? Every other province has concluded what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Quebec, Manitoba, Alberta, British Columbia have told the teams what they can expect. Now, maybe something has been told behind the scenes. Maybe they, but I don't get that impression. So, you know, the Jays are, I think it's a competitive advantage if they can have a packed barn or close to it.
I don't think a behind-the-scenes comment would be me, because don't you think the Maple Leafs would love to go to everybody and say, look, there's going to be 15,000 people in the building? Or the Jays say the same thing. They wouldn't want to keep that kind of secret or whatever. They would die to tell their fans that.
Right.
I would be shocked. Here's my uneducated, completely uneducated guess. But I would think in preseason, I'm just talking the Leafs, not the Jays. Preseason, you're probably looking at half. But regular season, game one, full capacity with the vaccination passports, however you want to term them. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why we're getting fully vaccinated, so that we can start up our lives again. Isn't that the narrative that, you know, they were selling in the election, selling everywhere? What are you doing then? Like, that would be my argument.
Yeah, I think that I would think so too. I mean, although that hasn't always been consistent across the board.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you hear some of the loopholes and some of the things that you can do, and then all of a sudden you can't do it. It's like, it's difficult to keep track of it all.
You're right.
Very difficult to keep track of it all. But
it's sad because some of it has become political, and instead of just, hey, you know what? And the favorite thing is a lot of Google doctors out there. Yeah, you know what? I heard this is bad for this, and I, you know, I'm, you know, it happens. You know, I'm not a doctor, and people have a right to for choice, but ultimately, you know, I would go lean. I would lean on doctors and their advice, and that's what they do for a living.
Doctors and science, and listen, that applies to athletes right now that are choosing not to get vaccinated, and the effect it could have on their career, where it is a choice.
Right.
Like, I think Andrew Wiggins was quoted as saying he's not going to get the vaccine unless he's forced to do it. Well, as far as I know, Adam Silver is not flying out to the Bay Area to staple him to a table to vaccinate. Like, you're not going to be forced, but you won't be playing. Yeah, like, it's your choice to get vaccinated or not, but it's not your choice to determine the rules of a private business and the league or even the government, because my understanding is it's more about the Bay Area and I believe the state of California, and with in terms of the NHL, it's crossing the border back and forth and how the federal government is going to respond to that. So, you know, Tyler Bertuzzi, and is it Archibald, I believe, in Edmonton? And, you know, there's a few – there's going to be players. There's going to be players throughout all these leagues that decide not to go down that road, and you're going to have to deal with some repercussions. But it is your choice.
It's your choice to do it or not. And people, everyone has their own interpretation, including the three of us in their panel of this panel, of what COVID is and what COVID means to them and all of that. We've all had different experiences the last 18 months. And ultimately, the people that choose not to be vaxxed, that's their opinion too. But some of them are weak. Like, I understand if it's a medical condition, but I had one guy say to me, yeah, my wife told me that it would affect my skin. I'm like, oh, okay, there you go. That's a good excuse.
We're not going to get into vaxxing, anti-vaxxing, but I just never understand how you grow up and you trust your family doctor. Jamie, we have the same family doctor. You trust them for everything. But when it comes to the vax, all of a sudden family doctors turn into donkeys. They don't know what they're talking about. So it's like, it's always all, what about some other doctor that quit his job because he doesn't believe in the vaccine? It's just, I'm not even venturing into the conversation with anyone ever again about the vaccine. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
It's a choice, but here's the thing that you were pointing out, Brian. There's a business to be run in pro sports. And whether it's in Edmonton and in Detroit in the NHL, those players are choosing to, you know, have to go through separate protocols, different. And a guy like Archibald, who is, you know, he's a fourth liner for the Oilers, and if he has to miss 30 games because of his choice, you know, Ken Holland may be like, I've got somebody in-house that's going to replace you just based on, you know, what you bring to the team at that time.
Well, and the league is going to move on without you. Like, that's the way it's going to work. If the games are ongoing, for whatever reason, if you're not there, then teams are going to move on. And really, the vaccination status is not much different than any other context when you're talking about the talent of players and the production of players.
Right.
You know, if you're a really highly touted, talented player, teams will probably work with you. If you're not, then you have even less of a chance. In fact, you might have 0% chance if the hoops are just, you know, too small that you're trying to jump through. Like, it just it becomes too tough to work through. Keegan Mathieson will join us. He's been traveling with the team, and the Jays are in Minnesota tonight for four. We'll tee up that four-game series, get his take on where the things stand. With 10 games to go, Yankees are right there. The Sox are right there. There's a lot cooking with the Jays in Major League Baseball in the pursuit of the two wildcard spots. Thursday night or tonight, we'll have our pick. We'll tee it up later this afternoon. And the first day on ice throughout the league, there's a lot of different stories going on around NHL.
Update season, boy. Update season.
Big-time update season.
So-and-so's got new pads. Hashtag new pads. First on the ice for the Leafs. First on the ice for the
Bag skate updates, man.
It's fascinating to me. There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Eddie Olczyk will join us in about a half an hour. The Leafs are on the ice today, and they've got their first preseason game on Saturday night. Matthews, obviously, not a participant in terms of what they're doing on the ice, but everyone else is out there and moving. And before you know it, the season will be here, and they need to change the narrative. They need to just get in there, play some games. Fine, you know, Nick Robertson having a good preseason would help in terms of a distraction and a positive storyline. And Rasmus Sandin is a guy I'll be watching closely. I know I will not be alone. Let's see what kind of strides he makes. Seeing Mrazek make his first start. Like, that's what's coming here.
That's why it's important. It would be important, Hayes. Like, these people that claim they're so kind of down in the dumps about the Leafs and the one comment I got was, there's just nobody positive about the team this year. And that's just from one of my buddies who I golf with, so what does he know? But to get fans back in the building and see some good hockey and see some guys playing well, and just to kind of shake their head and say, yes, I do believe in the Leafs, and I want to watch this team all year, I think it would be great for everybody involved and see some other storylines pop up. Like you said, Mrazek or Robertson or whatever. Just the captain having his jersey back on playing at home. Just something to feel good about and get some positive energy into the whole operation.
Yeah, yeah. And that's coming once you start playing games. You know, like, yeah, exactly. It's not going to come from a scrimmage or a rookie camp or something. People just don't have time to follow all that and know all the details. You got to play. You know, you got to play the games, get going. Things are going to pop up. Positive storylines are going to happen. It happens every single camp, and it will league-wide. There will be positive storylines in Buffalo and Arizona. If you can believe it, they're going to be there. It'll change once the real stuff starts, but that's the beauty of the beginning of any season and any camp, you know. Like,
I agree.
Especially knowing, I was thinking about it today, knowing the Matthews injury and the belief of the timeline makes it easier to digest if you're a fan. Like the belief that he'll be ready for opening night. We'll see. You know, maybe he won't be. I don't think it's a lock guarantee, but that's what they believe is going to happen. There's no reason to believe that it won't. But how about the news today that Malkin is out for two months plus? Like, so Evgeny Malkin is out for the first 2 months of the season, if not more than that. That's a massive hit and a huge news dump on day one. Sid's going to be out for a while there in Pittsburgh, as we know. Carey Price didn't pass his physical, but he's in a similar spot to Matthews. Sounds like he should be ready for opening night, but there's no guarantee, so you hold your breath. And, you know, that's where we're at right now.
I agree. I think the biggest news today, and I know it's been a dumpster fire down there, but good for Kevin Adams. Like, I think they're fed up with this Eichel situation. They're like, you're not dictating this, you know, what the hell's going on here. Like, he's got to run an organization, and I know it's not good right now. They've got a lot of holes there, but, you know.
Yeah, but Noodles, he's an elite player, but what are they, like, why keep the distraction around? Has there been no offers? Is everyone concerned?
I'm sure there's offers, but like, who are you, like, every team is not throwing you a lifeline going, we'll give you our best player for him. Like, you know you're trading for Jack Eichel. This guy's not playing. He's having surgery.
What type of surgery? IR.
Like, he's going to be on the IR. Like, I look at everyone links him to the Rangers. I'd link him to Anaheim. Anaheim's got a bunch of good young players. Bob Murray admitted they're in a rebuild. Like, I'd send him to Anaheim. And that's not a slight on Anaheim or anything.
And I know he's going to be patient, but sooner or later, it's going to be a difficult – Hayes touched on it yesterday. It's going to be a difficult year for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes, it is.
So why not move the asset if you can? You're not going to give him away. And I think Kevin has touched on that. He's not going to give this asset away.
Right.
But do you really want it to drag on? And really, like, they stripped him of the C. Like, big deal. The guy doesn't want to play there ever again. And, like, you know, like, I, it's well, great. You want to take a stand. It's not. He's not the captain of our team anymore. The team doesn't care. He doesn't care. And I'm sure the fans, and you can't do something when you're running an organization for the betterment of the fans or just to kind of have peace or whatever you want. But to move away from the distraction, I think, would be massive for that organization because it's going to be ugly enough. Like, why
agree,
do you want
you
this thing all
you
year?
You don't trade him for pennies on the dollar, though. That's the thing. I'd wait until he's had the surgery or until you figure it out. Like, that's the one thing. The player doesn't control the timeline. It's the manager. It's the team. And they're already going to be a bottom feeder by the looks of it.
Oh, no.
So what are they?
Well, if they didn't tell him to get the surgery at the beginning of the summer or last year, when the hell are they going to say, go ahead and get the surgery? I don't think they're ever going to say that to him. They don't want him to get the surgery.
Apparently, there's two different surgeries that they're talking about now.
Maybe
you know, their doctors and his doctors.
Like, we're in the September camps.
This is one of the best athletes in the world, and they can't fit. Like, I know the organization. Apparently, he wants to have some surgery that no hockey player has ever had in the history of hockey. That's what I'm to understand. A surgery that not one player has ever had in the history of the game. And the history's big. And there's a lot of players that have probably had neck problems. Not one has had this surgery that apparently he wants.
So
that is my understanding.
What,
so I,
Who's going to make the call, and what is the timeline? Like, is a carrier pigeon sending the message in? Like, when is this going to get to the desk of Kevin Adams or Eichel, whoever it is? You know, I appreciate them ripping the captaincy off his chest because that's kind of what it was, but it's also the easiest play, and he could not care less. This isn't like Patrick Marleau losing the captaincy or a guy who's been the incumbent for quite some time. Eichel couldn't care less. He doesn't want to be there. What has become abundantly clear, Owen Power made a great decision. Go back to Michigan. You don't want to be a part of that. Like, I think he made a great call. Don't even be a part of this garbage.
My whole thing is that Eichel's. I think Eichel's got blood on his hands here.
Oh, I agree with you too.
Like, he's being a spoiled brat here too.
This is why I think there's always been a black cloud with Eichel and a bit of animosity between the two parties. He's always known they didn't want him. They wanted the guy in Edmonton,
Timmy Murray.
They've known. He knew it. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow immediately. Great, we're stuck with you. Like, that's basically what he said, Tim Murray, the GM.
He's like, God, we lost all year, and I drove up here for this.
Yeah, literally. It's like, hi, I'm Jack Eichel. I guess I'll be your consolation prize.
All right, true.
Go sit in the corner. Like, that was it. And that's how it's been ugly ever since for the most part. Eichel definitely has a chip on his shoulder that I think is unwarranted in many ways. But that organization is a mess.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolute mess.
Yep.
Eddie Olchuk on that in about 25 minutes. Our buddy Keegan Matheson will join us, teeing up the series in Minnesota. What went wrong yesterday at the Trop? What's up with Kiermaier popping off? That and more next. So we posted something on Twitter about Bruce Springsteen because it's his birthday today and we're talking about him, and now we've got all these Springsteen like super fans on the chain going back and forth about, I saw him in 78. And it's like, okay, please, Grappler, please. Like, shout out to Springsteen, but I just don't think I can do it. And I have a gripe with you on the far right, because ever since your little bulk barn rant, I have been taking one-timers of gummy bears, and like every break I'm going upstairs for a lap, and I'm facing the edge. I'm creeping towards the edge.
Before we get to Keegan, I've got one other element that I was doing during my feeding in the morning. Like when I was putting the squeeze on the 2X, that will just absolutely blow your mind.
All right, save it. Save it for 5 o'clock. All right, save it, and we'll hear what you have to say, because Keegan Matheson is with us now from MLB.com. He may have his own move or two. What's your eating routine like on the road these days, Keegan?
Boys, I hate to interrupt good radio, but I'm happy to be a part of it. My eating routine, I wouldn't call it healthy. You know, it's the road is not a place for dieting and fitness, I don't think, at this point. But You try to get that one item a day that lets you lie to yourself. This morning,
what about after the game tonight in Minnie? Like, what are you going to feed on?
Oh, man, that's going to be a room service call. That's going to be a pray the bar is open call on the way back. You know what? Downtown Minnie, fellas, I took a walk around for lunch today. Yeah. Not a lot happening right now. I think I landed on about option 10 to pull into for lunch. But me and the boys getting off the morning shift, we had a good one.
Good to hear. We're living vicariously through you, man. You're on the road. There's not a lot of other people doing that. And yet up here at home, as you're aware, we're waiting to hear news on the 6-game homestand, and the Jays are selling advanced seating to upwards of a packed barn. I think at this point we know they have 15,000 allowed in attendance. They've been home for quite some time, and to my knowledge, they have had no issues with COVID, no tracing issues with COVID, no breakouts or anything like that. How big of an advantage and boost do you think it would be to have expanded capacity for the final homestand?
Oh, boys, that would be amazing to see what Toronto could fill into that building. We have seen how this city rallies around not just the Blue Jays when they're in it. We saw what happened with the Raptors. You see it with the Leafs, of course, too, TFC. But the 15,000 that have been in there have been loud, have really filled that building out well. And having that 500 level filled out, I think, would really add to that, because, you know, this team going through those Dunedin days and Buffalo days, I know at the time it was a better option than nothing, but when you're comparing to nothing, a lot of things are better options. So being back in Toronto, I think getting that full house would be a real boost, and I guess pressure's on now with this ticket sale.
chatting with Keegan Matheson of MLB.com. He's at the park down in Minnesota ahead of the four-game series against the Twins. I don't know if you had a chance to speak with any of the players, but what has been the general reaction to what Kevin Kiermaier had to say post-game last night?
You know, that's an interesting one for today. You know, Kevin Kiermaier saying that last night after we finished up speaking with Montoyo and Baruchy. But that adds a little spice to this, guys. The Rays and Blue Jays have been rivals, but not the real rivals. It's more of a rivalry because of the division, because of how tough the Rays play them. But when you add something extra like this, that's when a rivalry gets good. When these teams want to face each other, when there's a little friction, when there's something on the line. And, I mean, I like that quote from Kevin Kiermaier. That adds something to it. If they meet in the ALDS, it'll be something to watch. I don't think anyone's going to throw at each other when you're in the playoffs, but man, oh man, it would make it pretty interesting to watch, especially those Kiermaier at bats, and especially if there's a few run gap in that game.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was, I was fine with it last night. I know it's old school, and I know we're not allowed to admit that anymore, but listen, it got him in the numbers. He's fine. He said it afterwards, and if it leads to more of an issue and more of a, I guess, a rivalry, I think that could actually be a very good thing in the future. But what was not a very good thing yesterday was the way the pitching staff tried to hold up without Hyun-Jin Ryu in the rotation yesterday. And Ryu will likely not be back for the remaining two starts he was slated to have. He could be, but you never know. How do they get through these final two starts if Ryu is not back? Because I'm not sure Merriweather into Stripling and beyond is something that Montoyo wants to do again.
Yeah, that's not plan A by any means. And I'm just taking a stroll out towards the outfield here, guys. Ryu is lightly tossing here to Reese McGuire. I won't bore you with a play-by-play from 20 feet away here, but he's starting to throw a little bit, not quite on a mound, not maxed. But with that neck injury, it's tough to measure day-to-day. How are you going to wake up feeling if you're Ryu? And you're right, piecing together a bullpen game like that is not going to work because the Blue Jays, that bullpen has improved a bit, but it doesn't have the depth of those four or five really dynamic guys. You have Meza, you have Romano at that back end, but you've got to have somebody eat those three or four innings. I think Thomas Hatch being on that roster for that night might have helped out. You can't predict Stripling's only going to go 1 1/3, but after that happens, after the bulk guy only goes an inning and a third, you're just trying to get out of that game at that point. You would have loved to see a Sacedo where someone take those three innings, but you're really fighting uphill. And against a team like the Rays, good luck.
We'll get you out of here on a question about George Springer, the leadoff man who was 0 for 5 last night. Looking at his stats in September, and I know he's dealing with the injury, but he's got one home run in September. He's batting 176. He's got an OPS of 543. It is ugly for Springer right now. Is it more injury? Is it more he's been so hot when he has been healthy, so he was due for a slump and it's just happening at the worst time in September? What is your read on what's going on with Springer?
Well, of course he's not 100%, but I think when I see him running around here and running the bases, a lot better than it was 2 weeks ago. There were some games a couple of weeks ago, guys, where you would watch him go down the first base line and be cringing, just thinking, man, is this guy staying in? Is he good enough to be staying in right now? He looks better moving around naturally, but these are the types of games that you sign George Springer for. He is a guy who's had success down the stretch and into October. Now, the Blue Jays have offensive talent who's done it in the regular season, but these games, these next 10 games, are exactly why you sign George Springer. If he's in the outfield, that's a bonus, but you need him performing like he has and like he can at the top of the lineup. We saw him take that jump after the quad injuries. It was almost overnight that he really kicked it into gear. But clock is finally ticking on this season, so they'll need to see it soon.
Enjoy yourself down there, Keegan. Don't get into any trouble post-game, buddy. Right back to your room and room service and do your thing, all right?
Yeah, I'll check in with a tweet, fellas. I appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate the time. There he is, Keegan Matheson of MLB.com. On the field, live updates from
Love
many.
It.
Love it. Thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I would just creep around and just find somewhere to belly up, laptop, write your piece. And just...
Oh, there's a place, right? He was talking about it where he's right downtown Minneapolis, the Loon Cafe. Spent Ooh. A few nights there. Very
I
good
like
place.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like a square when you go downtown there. There's lots of little corner bars and stuff like
Carolina
that.
Carolina Hurricanes fired up a little table in an establishment.
Oh, yeah.
And we thought we were cooking with oil. And then the Vikings walked in, and we might as well have lit ourselves on fire.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got like loser status.
Oh, my God. Did we get dusted?
Isn't there a big mall in Minnesota?
Yeah, Mall of America. It's the biggest mall, I think, in North America.
Right.
There's West Edmonton Mall in Edmonton and Mall of America in Minneapolis. And both of them are built, I believe, built by the Garmisian brothers.
Oh, it's shout out. How about that? Nice.
I think.
I can't believe you have that intel. Like,
that's a nerd day off right there.
Going walking around the mall on your day off.
Go to the mall?
Yeah. No guy. No dice.
Take that back, please.
Rescinded. Hour two up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.